Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Friday, July 31st, and on today's episode, the look around the country continues as we get a greater national perspective to the hopes of college football being played in the fall of 2020. So far through the Power Five conferences, of course, we have spoken at length about the Big Ten and their conference-only schedule. On Monday, we had Locked On ACC's Brian Wilmer to talk about the Atlantic Coast Conference. On Wednesday, Locked On Auburn and Zach Blackerby, who gave us some perspective from the SEC. And today, we round out the week with our fourth of the five Power Five conferences and the Big 12. And now, very pleased to welcome on for his debut on the Locked On Big Ten show. It is Patrick Kahn. He is a great member of this Locked On podcast family, the host of Locked On Longhorns and the managing editor of Longhorns Wire for USA Today. So, Patrick, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Not a problem. You know, it's kind of interesting because when you reached out to me initially and you're like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? I'm like, Big Ten? What?
Yeah, we're trying to diversify our opinions, get some alternate perspectives as we are looking ahead to the college football season. So we'll talk some Texas for sure because, okay, cool, hook 'em is something I say to my friends all the time. And we want to get some perspective overall from the Big 12 as well. So, Patrick, the Big 12 making some headlines this past week when they announced that they would not be pushing back the start of their conference play or their football season, but instead moving it forward, at least two teams, Oklahoma and Kansas, playing in week zero, August 29th. What did you make of that decision? And aside the jokes that you can make about, whoa, what the heck are they doing? What's the rationale behind that decision?
You know, I think that was a way to get a game in at least, you know, immediately. You know, the big thing that people have worried about and that they've talked about is the playing in the colder weather. You know, as it starts to cool down, could there be another ramp up of COVID-19 coronavirus? And then you get into the discussion of, okay, well, are we going to cancel the season? Are we going to postpone it? Are we going to do something like the NBA where, you know, they cancel the games that they – or they postpone it and then they kick back up, you know, later in the year in the warmer months? Mm-hmm. You know, could they do that in, you know, college football and bring up a game – and that was one of the conversations that Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, was talking about. Do we split it? Do we play half and half? You know, what's the dynamic there? So I think the whole point of that was to get a game in early. But, you know, right now it's like while they've moved games up to week zero, as you talked about, there's discussions right now that may not happen at all.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the reasons they did this was to give them some flexibility. And they talked about trying to stretch out maybe the scheduled portion to try to fit in as many games as possible, giving them some flexibility on the front end and then on the back end later in December for their conference championship game. But it's very interesting because if they do move up to week zero and they have that plan for right now, Oklahoma and Kansas can start their fall camps the day that this episode comes out, Friday, July 31st. What do you expect the early returns to be from these teams getting back to practice?
You know, as long as they're able to create sort of that bubble, I think that it's going to be positive. You know, as we've seen Major League Baseball, Miami Marlins, we've heard the stories, we've heard all about that. And Major League Baseball as a whole, they're kind of trying to go through that. Meanwhile, you look at more of the bubble scenarios, right? The NBA, the NHL, and they're seeing, you know, great success of being able to – you know, create that bubble to have their games, to be able to play. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. And I think college campuses can kind of create more of that bubble in that with football and things of that nature, they can, you know, they won't have like the athletes going out and doing things if they're staying in their area and they'll try to do things. So I think it'll be a positive thing. And I think if they're able to play a game or two and, you know, do their testing and come back with, you know, negative results, I think that only enhances the opportunity for college football to hopefully have that full 10, 12 game schedule as they're hoping to have.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point there. Where we are right now at the end of July before students get back to campus, and then you talked about it with the colder weather on the back end, a lot of colleges, regardless if they're going to have in-person or online instruction, want the semester done by that Thanksgiving break. And those are really your best chances on a college campus to create somewhat of a bubble environment before you have the regular students coming back and interacting with the student athletes, because even in a perfect world, there's going to be some mixture there. So if you can keep your football program away from the regular student population as much as possible, I think it only works to benefit, hopefully, as many games as we can. And Patrick, I've said all along, if I can just watch like one college football game, if you spaced them out every week and there was one game a week, still I would find some semblance of happiness in that.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing right now for everybody, is trying to have some semblance of their regular life. I mean, obviously, those of us who cover college football, that is the way that we make our money. You know, that's right. Our paycheck. So obviously, we're rooting for football to happen. But it's also kind of like we've had with baseball a little bit. Basketball and hockey will start up as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's given us that semblance that it's normal, because
right.
For the most part, since March, we've all just been kind of just sitting in our houses, you know, getting on social media, trying to interact with people just so that we have some semblance of social interaction because of social distancing. And so when you got the sports returning, it gives us that semblance that, you know, everything's going to be okay. Because there for a while, I mean, when we were getting ready for the Texas Tech, Texas, Big 12 tournament game, and yeah. It gets canceled, and we're all just sitting around like, yeah, what does this mean?
Yeah,
what about the tournament? You know, what does this mean? Everybody's in, and then they cancel that. So now I think, you know, with the return of sports, that gives us something to hold on to.
Yeah, Patrick, we were talking before we started recording this interview that both of us started for the Locked On Podcast Network that first week of March, pretty much. And we had one good week talking the end of, you know, conference basketball play, getting into the conference tournament. There was a whole lot of excitement on the horizon, and then boom, shut it down really quickly. So this has been a lot for us, just trying to scramble and make the best of what we can. But we are rooting and hoping for college football to be back in a safe manner so that we have something to cover, to cheer for, and to enjoy this upcoming fall. So what's the feel around the Texas Longhorn football program as they approach getting ready for this 2020 college football season?
There's a lot of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about it, not just COVID-19 related. Some of it. SEC has come out and said that they're looking at a conference-only schedule.
Right.
As many know, the biggest game on Texas' schedule outside of Red River rivalry was going to be the return matchup between Texas and Louisiana State in right. Baton Rouge. You know, so there's a little bit of uncertainty, and to hear that, it's kind of a letdown, because a lot of Texas fans and team alike were hoping to get some revenge. Yep. Obviously, they lose, you know, by a touchdown to the eventual national champions, you know, and then their season didn't go the way that they hoped that it would go, especially coming off a Sugar Bowl victory in 2018. And so there's a lot of uncertainty there. When you want to talk about the actual product on the field, there's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
A ton. What are they doing at linebacker? They've had players go into the transfer portal, pull themselves out. Players threaten to not play and then show up to, you know, campus. And we've even seen that this week with Anthony Cook, defensive back. He went into the transfer portal and then yesterday pulled his name out. There's a lot of uncertainty on like who's going to be where. And with the lack of camp, really, lack of spring football, there's a lot of these position battles that we don't really know what's going to happen. Tariq Black transferred from Michigan. Where does he fit in?
Right.
Is he going to start opposite of Brennan Eagles? Is Brennan Eagles going to come play? Jordan Whittington's a guy who they expected to play well from the slot, but he's having injury concerns again. And losing Devin Duvernay, losing Colin Johnson, there's a lot of uncertainty as far as what they're going to do offensively. They got a new system offensively and defensively. This is a ton of questions, and with no spring ball, we don't really have any answers right now. So it's very much up in the air right now.
So a lot of talk this week about conferences other than the Big Ten to get that national perspective. And there may be debate amongst myself and the other hosts that have been on this podcast about which conference is the best. I would argue the most prestigious and most historic is the Big Ten. They might say otherwise. However, when it comes to talking about who is the best in terms of convenient self-service for auto parts for your car or truck, there's no other answer than rockauto.com, because rockauto.com is a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. That's like having teams Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and Iowa State. There we go. Big 12 teams. That's all the flexibility and the variety you can get when you go to rockauto.com. So whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. It's convenient, it's easy, and it allows you to stay safe. And best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You never should. You know what's a tough question? Is Texas back? That is a tough question with a whole variety of answers. You know what's an easy question? Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You never have to at rockauto.com. That's an easy answer. So when you go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On, LOCKEDON, in their How Did You Hear About Us box on the top of their page so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. You know what is coming at the end of this ad read, at the end of your week, to take you into a glorious weekend. It's the jingle. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto, rockauto.com. I do want to give you props, though. As a pro covering the Texas Longhorns, you rattled off Red River Rivalry like you've been doing it for a long, long time. No stumble whatsoever in what can be a tongue twister. So props to you, Patrick. I will say, well, well done there, my friend.
Hey, you know, it's funny because some people say Red River Rivalry and some people say Red River Shootout. And it's like, I was like, nah, I got to go with the triple R's, you know. It's great. You know, it's funny because, you know, as somebody who has only been covering Texas football for, you know, 6 to 8 months now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that I've had to work on. I'll tell you that. I have stumbled before.
I mean, that's one of the things. It's kind of like a flex on them when you can just rattle it off really quickly and say Red River Rivalry. I always picture it like Chris Berman saying the Raiders, like really getting into the R there and going Red River Rivalry. I try to do that from now and then and maybe try to impress my friends if I can. So for a guy that's been covering Texas for a little less than a year now, I have to ask you, your early impressions, Patrick, is Texas back? Is there some semblance of being back?
You know, until that they can show the consistency to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat and the consistency to beat Oklahoma, I can't say that they're there. Yeah. The problem being Texas has the number one recruiting class year in and year out in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tom Herman's first year, he had the third-ranked recruiting class in the nation.
Right.
So they're getting the players in, but the development has always been lacking. Outside of, you know, Sam Ellinger, Samuel Cosmi, you know, those are some of the names, you know, Caden Stearns, you know, guys that are expected to do well, they do well. It's some of these other guys who are highly touted but never really turn into what they are supposed to be. On the defensive side of the ball, I can say a lot of that was the defensive scheme. They didn't really scheme in a way that put their players in a position to win. Offensively, I think that they're good. It's just they need to be better, and that's why Mike Yurcich is here. And obviously, you know, he spent – you know the name, spent some time at Ohio State as the passing coordinator. Right. You know, so hopefully he's going to bring some – he's familiar with Big 12. He spent many a year at Oklahoma State and even had some big years with Mason Rudolph, you know, Justice Hill, some of those guys. And so the hope is – and there's a lot of – optimism around the offensive side of the ball because of what he was able to do in recent trips. And they're hoping that Sam Ellinger can take that step up this upcoming season.
So let's turn back to the Big 12 overall. As I mentioned, they're getting things going. And one of the ways they are moving forward with their offseason programming is they're setting up a virtual media days for this upcoming Monday. They're going to have coaches, no players, but coaches speaking to the media over whatever teleconference, Zoom kind of thing they're doing. What do you expect a lot of these coaches to say? What do you think the overall vibe and atmosphere will be like for that virtual media day setup?
Oh, I think there's going to be a ton of questions because I think all of us in the media have a ton of questions right now.
Rightfully so.
You know, because at this point, and I think a lot of people can agree, and it's not just a Big 12 thing. You know, a lot of people are asking, okay, so, you know, what are you doing with the COVID-19 pandemic? What happens if a player tests positive? You know, how are they tracing it? Who all has to sit out? You know, there's a lot of questions of what's the schedule going to be?
Right.
Because there's three options on the table right now. The most unlikely is paying a full 12-game schedule. And a lot of that is because the other Power 5 conferences are going to a conference-only schedule, which eliminates a large portion of games. You know, we're not going to get to see the Iowa State-Iowa game. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to get to see Texas-LSU. Oklahoma versus Tennessee. You know, a lot of these big matchups that they had in their preseason or non-conference scheduling
right.
have all been eliminated. So now it's like, okay, so the 12-game schedule is probably off the table. Looking right now at either a conference-only schedule, which will only be 9 games in the true round robin, and then obviously the 10th game would be the Big 12 championship down at Cowboy Stadium in Arlington. And then the other option is a 9-plus-1 schedule. And in that regard, Texas has South Florida and UTEP on the schedule currently. So it could be a deal where they just play UTEP.
Right.
You know, for traveling reasons. And so there's that 9-plus-1. And, you know, so that's the interesting part. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are going to be asking about when it comes to the Big 12 Media Days on Monday. It's one of those things where I'm kind of excited to get in there and find out exactly what is going to be said. Tom Herman is scheduled to meet about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, so once that hits, we'll have a little more idea of what's going on. And you know, obviously we'll hear what Bob Bowlsley has to say. I think we're all kind of anticipating that on Monday we'll have an answer or more of an idea of what the schedule is going to look like for the upcoming season.
Yeah. And Bob Bowlsley said this past week that after the media days take place on Monday, later that night, he's going to have a meeting with the school presidents where they probably vote on some sort of schedule. They'll have the options laid out, like you mentioned right there. At the end of Monday or at the end of that meeting with the Big 12 school presidents and the commissioner, what do you expect that schedule to look like for the Big 12 in college football in 2020?
I think the Big 12 is going to go with a 9-1 schedule. So we're talking 9 non-conference games like they have in one warm-up game, so to speak. You know, I don't expect them – obviously, the premier teams are going to be playing conference-only schedules, so we're not going to get to see any big ones. But so, like a Texas versus UTEP and Oklahoma versus Tulsa, something along those lines. You know, somebody – I think it's going to be somebody within their state or within, you know, 500 miles. You know, so that's what I'm expecting to see. So, and I figure they're going to have plenty of breaks, you know, obviously with having 3 or 4 bye weeks, and that all, not only does that give you an opportunity to rest, recover, or, you know, if you have any players that you have to place into quarantine, but also the fact that if they have to cancel games, they have those dates already in their schedule so that they can make up games and hopefully try and get this full season in if it's only just 10 games.
And by now, you know how we wrap up these interviews as we get the national perspective. We get a vibe check to see how confident Patrick is in a college football season happening. That's coming up next. And we saw with the ACC announcing on Wednesday that they're going with the 10-plus-1, 10 conference games, that one non-conference game that the ACC school will have to host. So that a little bit of a popular option at this point. It's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens, because I think the biggest thing that you mentioned right there, Patrick, you have the Big Ten and the Pac-12 now in conference-only schedule, so that eliminates the crossover. You have the ACC saying that in the non-conference game, it's going to be played at the home stadium of the Atlantic Coast Conference team, and now you have the Big 12 that if they were to go with the 9-plus-1, having that non-conference game, I think the point you illuminated there makes a lot of sense. Playing an in-state foe, maybe you wouldn't normally play, but in terms of state regulations and everybody going through the same protocols when it comes to COVID-19, that would seem to me to make the most sense at a time like this.
Yeah, I think that they have to try and eliminate any extra risk that they can. You know, so if that's just being in state, you know, partially I kind of wish the SEC wouldn't go that way and it would kind of force the Texas A&M Texas game back because they're so close, you know, within 300 miles of each other. You know, that would be great. The other thing that I've kind of thought about and I've kind of toyed with is the idea of playing a 10 conference game schedule, no non-conference. It's just an idea. One game where they play one team twice. You know, maybe keep a rivalry. So Kansas State play 2 games against each other. Maybe we get a second Red River rivalry, Texas OU playing twice. But, you know, I doubt that they would go that route. Because that gives the potential that Texas and OU could play 3 times if they meet up in the Big 12 championship like they did in 2018. You know, so, you know, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be different. But, you know, it's something that that if they can pull this off, hopefully we have college football and hopefully we finally get to stop talking about what ifs and actually talk about the games being played.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we saw with the ACC on Wednesday, one of the cool things for their conference championship game that it seems like a lot of people around college football are in favor of, they're going to take the win percentage. We're getting rid of divisions, and we're going to have the win percentage for the two top teams that will play in the conference championship game. That's something the Big 12 does right now. What do you like about that system, and how do you think it plays out?
Well, I think it's good if you have larger conferences. Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, there were times – in the early days of the Big 12 or the Big 12 North, just it was not strong at all. And so you could get a 7-8 win team representing the North playing the South, and then you'd have Texas and Oklahoma, or, you know, there was that year where Texas Tech and Oklahoma all were tied with the same record.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's – they take the top team, whoever they have in the South, who wins the tiebreakers, and they're playing the North team, you know. So I think it eliminates that, and it gives you a higher quality game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. So, Patrick, my final question to you is this. I'm getting a vibe check from all of my guests that I'm bringing around across the nation when it comes to college football. If you had to give me a percentage that we will play some sort of a season, I'm talking at least 6, maybe 8 games for 2020, what would that percentage be, and how optimistic are you?
I'm pretty optimistic. If I had to give a confidence rating, I'd say about 80%. I think there is going to be some college football this year. I'm not willing to say that we'll finish the year, but mm-hmm. I do think that there will be games played this season.
And I think that's why the Big 12 is moving it up, like you mentioned at the start of this interview. At least we can have a couple good Saturdays maybe before it gets shut down. But for those times, we will still hold out hope until we are told otherwise. So Patrick Kahn, again, the host of Locked On Longhorns, a great member of this Locked On podcast family, the managing editor for LonghornsWire.com. Patrick, tell the folks right now that listen to this Big Ten program, if they wanted to get some more info on two numbers up for the Big 12 and Texas football, what you got coming on your show.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, the scheduling, the media day coming up, and what we expect. And mm-hmm. then we're going to talk about some recruiting, some guys that are in the mix to go to Texas. So definitely check out the Locked On Longhorns podcast, myself and Cammy Griffin.
Very cool. I mean, hey, listen, even if we have some uncertainty about the 2020 college football season, recruiting never stops. So we absolutely love it. Patrick, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Not a problem.
So many thanks again to my man Patrick Kahn for coming on the Locked On Big Ten show. Make sure you're following everything he is doing, covering the Texas Longhorns, cool, hook 'em, okay, cool, hook 'em, and all Big 12 content. Make sure to give him a follow on Twitter at PatSportsGuy. Very easy. What does he do? Hey, Pat, when his friends ask him, hey, Pat, what do? He goes, hey, just refer to my Twitter handle. I talk about sports. I'm a sports guy. So thank you very much to Patrick Kahn. Give him a listen on the Locked On Longhorns podcast. So as Patrick and I were discussing there, we are at the end of July. Today is July 31st. Pretty much every conference across America in college football listed today, Friday, as when we would know some semblance of a schedule. Obviously, we have Big 12 virtual media days happening on Monday in a meeting with school and team presidents coming up following that media day conference. So we will know from the Big 12 what their schedule is looking like at the latest Monday. I would say that we will have a full-on knowledge of all of the Power 5 conferences going into that crucial NCAA meeting coming up on Tuesday about their decision on whether they will play their fall sports championships that could have huge ripple effects across all of the Power 5 conferences. But I would say that we will know all 5 of the Power 5 conferences, what their schedules look like, at least at a glance, for the upcoming 2020 college football season. We know Pac-12 and the Big Ten are conference only. We know ACC right now is conference only 10 plus 1. The Big 12, we will hear from on Monday. The SEC, still a little bit in limbo. As I record this on Thursday afternoon, 2:36 p.m. Eastern time from my illustrious podcast studio, obviously the hours, you know, they get a little mixed up. I have not heard from the SEC yet. This part right here, if you're going to clip this off, could be a little outdated come tomorrow, Friday. But right now, we don't know what the SEC has put out there in terms of what their schedule may look like. And there's been a lot of discussion around some of the biggest pundits in college football that the SEC is not very happy right now. They were kind of taken aback by the Big Ten announcing conference only a few weeks ago. They were especially taken aback by the ACC going with the conference only plus one, the 10 plus one schedule, because if the SEC, which the idea has been floated, they go conference only and they get rid of some of those big rivalry ties that we talked about with Brian Wilmer on Monday's episode. We're talking Louisville, Kentucky. We're talking Florida State. We're talking Clemson, South Carolina. And what's the fourth one? Georgia Tech. I knew I could do it. All from the top. My memory's like a trap. Anyway, if those four huge conference rivalry games between the ACC and the SEC were to go away, it would be the Southeastern Conference's fault right now. And for the big bad SEC that likes to be at the top of college football and likes to say that the SEC plays everybody, maybe the optics of that wouldn't be so great for the Southeastern Conference in terms of being a top dog when it comes to scheduling in college football. But alas, we await and see. And I think by the time you listen to this podcast on Monday, we'll know, or maybe Wednesday, regardless, we will have a better sense of all Power 5 conferences and what their schedules may look like for the 2020 college football season coming up. So if you've been enjoying what you're hearing here on the Locked On Big Ten show, make sure to give a listen to some of our other shows across the Locked On Podcast Network, especially in the pro leagues, because the NBA is back. The bubble is working gloriously to start. So make sure to give a listen to Locked On NBA and tell your smart device to play Locked On NBA, and it'll do just that. So until we talk on Monday, have a splendid weekend.